Right. So today's just going to be sort of an update podcast and to kind of introduce a few things that I've been experimenting with in my technical life. And that is because I did not get through enough of the book on language to really flesh anything else out. I mean, there's enough there that I could go into it, but I realized as I was reading that this could be an entire semester or two course at a university. And I don't want to go into that grade of detail, especially when technically you guys are supposed to be reading along with me. And so I know some of you probably aren't, maybe many of you aren't, but this is supposed to be sort of my thoughts on it, on whatever book we're reading, and then you guys have your own thoughts based on what you've read, even if you've only read snippets of the book, and then we kind of come together, I talk about it, and you can tell me whatever you think on Mastodon or on LBRY/Odyssey. So we're not really going to go into the book today, although there was one point that I kind of wanted to touch on because it made me realize that I have definitely not heard from Chomsky on the subject of language and psychology before. I guess I have, but not in the clarity that he spoke of in the very beginning of chapter 2. And he said that linguistics is part of psychology and that you can't have a serious understanding of human psychology without a serious understanding of linguistics. And in the same measure, you can't have a serious understanding of linguistics without a serious understanding of psychology. And in my studies in literature and language at university, I always felt like I was delving into the psychology of the characters. Say I was reading Beowulf, for instance. That's one of the ones that really I studied for, well, more than one semester at college. And even after college, I've read it. I've read articles about it. And that is one of those pinnacle pieces of literature in history. Just the study of the language used within the text of Beowulf, the original text, is fascinating because it's unlike a lot of other pieces of literature of that time. But one of the things, once you get really deep into the study of a piece of literature, that you realize is you're really digging into the psychology of the author and into the psychology of the characters. That is to say, obviously the author has written in this psychology of these characters that he or she was writing about. But in the case of Beowulf, you have the psychology of the hero Beowulf, and you have the psychology of the warriors around him. You have all the little personalities, all the tidbits within the poem that speak to the character of those in the story and speak to the psychology behind the minds in the story. And this all comes from the author. Linguistics has a play in this because the way each character speaks, or the way that the author writes about each character, it gives you an insight into history, really. And that's why I think that not only does a good linguist or a good student of literature, not only do they need to know foundational linguistics and psychology, but every person that I know that has ever studied in depth any piece of literature has also had to study in depth the history surrounding that literature and the history that literature speaks of. And it's to get a full picture. And this is the study of humanity, the study of the human existence, the human experience. And I just think that's fascinating, to be honest with you. I know maybe that's anticlimactic, but I do. I think it's fascinating that we humans, we spend all of our time out there, well, currently, at least in the society in which I live, we spend all of our time working so that we can play, and we work so that we can build something that may last, and we work, and it's always about working, working, working. And if you don't have a career or a job that fulfills you, that changes your psychology. And furthermore, though, anything that you do is affected by everything in your life. So if you have a job where you, let's just say, oh, let's take my last job, for instance, in the warehouse. Now, I made good money, pretty good money in the warehouse, but I wasn't fulfilled. I felt limited. I felt dragged down. And even I noticed, and this isn't something I'm just adding to this story for the sake of it, but I even noticed at one point about a year in that my own way of thinking and talking became unsatisfactory to my own psychology. The way I thought about the world changed because every day I worked 10 to 12 hours, well not every day, but 5 to 6 days a week, I worked 10 to 12 hours in a warehouse doing nothing but cataloging and moving around products. And that's all I did. And because of that, my own psychology, my own mental stability, you might say, began to break down and crumble. And now, that's not to say that some people won't enjoy that job. I did not. I had no, there was no fulfillment in that job for me, which is why I was continually seeking something else. And now I have found something that I really do enjoy. But I've also found this podcast that is a good outlet for the internal gears in my mind. It's a good outlet for the books that I wanted to read but never did read. It's a good outlet to just kind of speak about it. And you know, and this may be kind of odd, I guess, but sometimes on my drive to work, whenever I worked at the warehouse, I would get to thinking and then talking to myself, essentially, and kind of working out problems in my head by talking aloud. It's the same with reading. Sometimes whenever I'm, like, for instance, the book that we're reading now, which that's a whole nother topic that I'll get into. The book that we're reading now, sometimes if I have trouble reading it, and I'm reading it and I have to read the same two or three sentences or paragraph over and over again to really understand it, if I would just read it out loud and I can hear the words in my ears, then for some reason that helps me understand it so much better. But the other thing I've noticed while reading this book, I've only just started reading it in EPUB form because I had bought the physical book, is that I don't know if I've lost the skill for reading out of a physical paper book, but I've gotten so used to the line width and the text size and of my e-reader, I think I've developed something in my brain where if it's not on my e-reader, then I may have trouble reading it. Because I've been reading it out of this book and I keep falling asleep, to be completely honest with you. And it's not that it's boring, because to me it is not boring. Maybe to you it is. But to me it is not boring at all. This is like some of the most interesting topics that we've studied so far. And we will get into this later on, how this affects the ideas of anarchism. But for now, I'm going to have to read in EPUB form because like I said, I've been having a very difficult time getting through it by reading on the paper form. Even with good lighting, I thought it was the lighting because my e-reader has a backlight on it. And if you're interested, one of my favorite e-readers is the one I have. It's the Kobo. I have the Kobo Aura something. Kobo Aura 2nd Edition or something. They have new ones out that look so much better. But Kobo makes one of the best e-readers I've ever used. And all of their software is open source. Though I've not really figured out a way to interact with the source code in a useful way yet. But it is one of the best e-readers I've ever owned. So I would, if you're in the market for an e-reader, I would highly suggest the Kobo brand. I think the new one is called the Clara or something like that. But anyway, that's just a sidebar. But yeah, I have gotten so used to reading from an e-reader that it is rather difficult reading out of a book anymore. I think it has to do with the text size, because the text in my book is so incredibly small. You can fit in almost an entire paragraph on a single line. So maybe that might be part of it. Which I don't really have a hard time reading it. It's just I have a hard time staying awake. So anyway, that is kind of a side note. But so those are kind of my thoughts on what I've read so far. And I've gotten into it a little bit more, but I'm going to save that for the next episode. But for now, I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that I've been putting up on the website, anarchobook.club, and the development of my own personal hosting solution from my home. If you remember back a few episodes ago, I'm not sure which one, I kind of announced that I'm not going to be able to host from my home because my ISP won't allow that. Well, I have been talking to them, and after a few days of talking to tech support and then to one of the, I believe it was one of the tech support supervisors, we have kind of come to an agreement to allow me to host from my home. They said as long as it is a static website, which I would have it no other way, they don't see any problem with it, and they are giving me a static IP at no extra cost. So that's awesome. So now I have a static IP. I have upgraded my bandwidth. That was part of the deal. I had to upgrade my bandwidth for this to be the case. So I've had my bandwidth upgraded to 400 megabits down and something like 50 or 100 up, something like that. I don't know. I don't really. Although the upload speed does kind of matter, I think currently there are not enough listeners to really bother about that too much, because, well, I actually don't know, because I have no analytics at all, because it's all hosted on GitLab and piped through Netlify, that's what it is. So hopefully by the end of today I will start getting my server up and running. Now the site won't go live for a while because I need to test it. I don't want to just throw it up there and everything crash. But I'm using Dark HTTPD for the web server. It is a very, very, very simple web server. There are logs, but nothing in depth. And basically you install it on, I'm using Alpine Linux for the server box, and you install it and start it through a OpenRC script, and then it's just running. And there is very little configuration to do on it, which I am excited about. I did test it a little bit last night. There are a few issues that I foresee, but I believe with online help I should be able to get it worked out. But I'm going to use that, and then I believe, here, let me pull it up here. I believe for analytics, which I will have some analytics, it'll be server side only, it won't be like tracking or anything like that. There's a program, an old school program, as Lietuvis on Mastodon has suggested, called CollectD, which many of you may already know about. I had no idea. And that is in the Alpine repository, so that's awesome. And it will just give me basic statistics so I can watch the server and make sure it doesn't get too warm or utilize too much RAM or anything like that, which I really don't expect the CPU or the RAM to be really an issue, because it is all static. And unless there are, say, 10,000 people online at once downloading the same couple of files, I don't think that's going to be an issue. Now, many of you who follow me on Mastodon already should know that I currently use XMPP protocol for instant messaging and chat and all that, group messaging. I'm trying out a new application, which is a bit limited at this time because they have a desktop application for Linux, for GTK Linux, so like GNOME and all that, Mate, for instance, it would work on. And then they have an Android app. They do not have an iOS app, nor will they probably ever, because of some certain issues with the Apple ecosystem. But they are developing the desktop app Android app and the and currently they're developing a terminal-based app as well, from what I understand, or someone is, that's connected to that project. But it's called the Briar Project. I'll put the link in the description. It is a really neat little P2P, or what is it, peer-to-peer instant messaging protocol. And we're using encryption and sending messages over Tor and all kinds of other things. You can do group messages, an open forum, which is what I'm going to talk about here. And you can also do like a little microblog type thing, which is kind of neat, I guess. I don't know if I would ever use it, ever, really. But what I'm thinking about doing is setting up a an open forum for Anarcho Book Club. Now, the way this works is that someone within the forum, so it would be me initially, I would have to invite someone. The way that works is to get you in my contacts, in my trusted contacts, we would have to exchange Briar addresses. So I've been relying mainly on Mastodon message. So you send me a message on Mastodon with your Briar address, I add you, and I send you mine as well, and we add each other. And then after that, there'll be two people in the forum. I can add you to the forum, and then after that, two people in the forum, and in any contacts that you have, you can send them a request, you can invite them into the forum as well. And I think this would be, so quite a few episodes ago, you may have seen that I started a sort of an open forum on Limmy. Limmy.ml, I believe, is the web address. I've kind of let that fall by the wayside because, I don't know. I never have liked Reddit, to be honest with you. I've really never liked it at all. Even in the early days, before all their UI updates and everything, I never really enjoyed using Reddit. So I guess that's probably why I haven't used Limmy very much. I posted a few things on there, and then I kind of let it fall by the wayside. So, but this I would be able to stay up to date on pretty easily. Now, I'm going to get the desktop application today, so I can easily manage it while, so whenever I post something, I can check the forum. And of course, there won't be anybody there right now, but hopefully I can get a few of you added by the time this episode is published, maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. But so that's kind of the plan going forward. I'm going to try out Briar. I've already been testing like the messaging between individuals and then the group messaging with a few people. I think some of you as well, maybe. Or just maybe random people I found on Mastodon, which is cool. That's fine too. But hopefully this can become a thing because it is a really, really neat, it's a really neat project. I really, really enjoy it. And I may not do I was just thinking just now, I may not do an open forum. I may do a private group because I'm pretty sure the open forum, everything that is mentioned within it is sort of, it's able to be web scraped or it's able to be logged somehow or another. Although well, I'm not really sure. See, that's one thing. The forum, I only realized the difference between a forum and a group very recently because one of the people I added on from Mastodon let me in on the secret of the difference because they look almost exactly the same. But if I understand right, the forums are kind of open. So maybe we should make it a private group. I think that's what I'll do. I'll make a private group chat and but if you want to learn a little bit more about Briar Project, you can go to briarproject.org or I put my own review of it up on Anarcho Book Club. And let me pull that up right now. Well, I'll put the link in the description so that you can check out my review. And I'm going to put the link for Briar in the description as well so that you can go to their webpage and look around. Look at the facts. Look at all the little things about it. It's pretty neat. And I guess it's not very new either. I thought it was whenever I talked about it on Mastodon. But it's like 5 years old or maybe six. I only just recently saw it, though. So, but yeah, so that's kind of the state of things. Oh, and one other thing. I really want to start promoting my LBRY channel a little bit more, because I just really like the ecosystem of LBRY and Odyssey. So I'm going to put the links down there as well in the description of this, or the, what do they call it in podcasting? Show notes. In the show notes for this podcast. I'm going to put that down there, but I just wanted to talk about LBRY a little bit, because they're having some trouble with none other than our good U.S. government here, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. And I guess the SEC is suing LBRY, or the organization LBRY, for trading securities without a license. Now, it has always been my understanding that LBRY tokens, or LBC, I believe is what they're called, are sort of kind of an internal token, so that so that the whole platform self-regulates on what is posted, what stays up, what comes down, and there are no overarching authority figures that can remove videos or manipulate views and so on. And I only just recently found out, I think it was yesterday actually, I've been using LBRY for a long time, and I had no idea that if you post a, say, video, or in my case, it is a video because I put visualizations in for the audio, but if you post one, the more LBC that you back it with, the more that you put behind it, the more visible it is to the wider audience at LBRY. I had no idea. I would have been encouraging everyone, and I know there aren't that many listeners, but I would have been encouraging everyone to go over and watch it, watch the visualizations, the light show behind the voice or in front of the voice. And maybe if you were so gracious, if you did enjoy the episode, then you could toss a coin in to support it. Not like a tip exactly, although that would be fine too, but you could toss in a coin, an LBR or an LBC, to support the video so it's a little bit more visible. I had no idea that's how that worked. It's pretty neat, if you ask me. I always wondered about that because I'm used to YouTube, as are most people that I know, where you can just throw out a like or a dislike, and you can repost and so on and so forth. I had no idea that that's what the LBCs could be used for, per se. I always thought it was just you give them a tip. And I've never had enough LBC to give very many tips. So go over to, if you don't mind, if I could implore you to go over to my LBRY channel. If you have the app on your desktop or on your phone, you can find me at Anarcho Book Club. Just look for Anarcho Book Club and you'll find the channel. Or if you use Odyssey through the web browser, you can find it the same way. It's the same thing. It's just different branding, basically. I'm not exactly certain why they changed the name on the web page, but that is the case. So, and if you don't have an account already, you can sign up. It's fairly anonymous. I think you do have to use an email so they can verify that you are who you say you are, or at least you are the owner of an email address, and you're not just a bot. But other than that, so if you have a throwaway email or you want to just sign up for a throwaway email, then go ahead and do so. And you can start just by watching videos. You get LBRY coin or LBC. So and then maybe you could support my videos, quote unquote videos. That would be awesome. I would really appreciate it if you did. But that's enough about the channel, about the LBRY channel. That's enough about the podcast. I think I will let you guys go early today. Class is dismissed. Oh, wait. One other thing. I'm looking for some new music. I like the music that I have now for the intro and outro. However, I want everything on this podcast to be classified as Creative Commons Zero license, and the music I'm using is not. So I would like to change that. I love Kai Engel. I love his music, but I can't ask him to change his license like that because it is his music. He made it, and even if I disagree with licensing in a foundational sense, I'm not going to ask somebody to change something like that just for me. So, I have been trying for a while to figure out how to record my own without instruments, because I am, though I have a job that I love, I am too poor to afford to buy a decent MIDI keyboard. That is the only way I would be able to make music myself, from what I have gathered. I am too poor, nor can I exactly justify the costs in my own head. So, if anyone out there has anything, any music talent, anything that they want to contribute to this podcast, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at anarchobookclub@riseup.net, or send me a message on Mastodon, send me a message on Mastodon with your Briar address, and we can chat in Briar, and maybe we can get something going. It doesn't have to be, I do have a little bit of money that I can use for something like this, but to be completely honest, I'm not a rich man, as it were. So just hit me up if you think you can contribute. I can tag you in the episodes, but I do want it to be Creative Commons Zero license. So there is that. So anyway, okay, so that's it. Go enjoy your day, and we'll see you next week. Now class is dismissed.